welcome one and all once again to Dual Wielding for the week of March 20-something, 2000. I'm joined this week by Anthony.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Martin.
It's the 21st.
And Daniel.
And I have returned.
Well, it's the 21st as of recording. This goes up on the 23rd. So, yes, for the week of March 23rd, 2015. So yes, as we've announced last year, we're going bi-weekly, and with that, there's going to come some changes. The biggest one is going to be the what we do first. Usually we do impressions, then news, but being that we're catching up on 2 weeks of news, news will come first, and whatever time we have left over will be used for impressions. And what a week for news. What a week. I mean, it started heavy, and it went bigger, and weirder, and stranger, and more bizarre, so... I mean, there's no place to start other than Nintendo and DNA forming. Is it a partnership? Is that what they call it?
It's some kind of partnership. They both invested pretty heavily in each other. I had read that Nintendo bought 10% of DNA, and DNA bought
1.25.
Nintendo did buy. They both, I think, invested $180 million in each other.
Yes, and based on the size of the company. Is Nintendo 10% owner of them, and they're 1.24% owners of Nintendo.
Right, right. So, not a small step.
Well, I mean, technically, they didn't use any money. They pretty much just exchanged cash. But it gave them a different stakes in each other, so they're kind of bonded together for the foreseeable future. But more so than them teaming up with DNA, I think it's what it stands for, which is that Nintendo has opened the avenue for their IPs to be used in smartphone apps. Aside from Pokemon, because Pokemon is just a pain in the ass to navigate who owns what and where. But, yes, right. This partnership, it seems like it was a bit of confusion at the start of the week, but from what I understand, Nintendo is going to be developing these games in-house, and
yes.
DNA is helping them more with the back-end stuff and kind of understanding the mobile scene.
Or
Nintendo sure as hell wouldn't be able to figure it out.
Well, to be fair, I don't think anybody's figured out the mobile scene.
Whoever made Clash of Clans is pretty freaking close.
Well, I think that was one of the things they said, though. It's like a lot of people who have success in the mobile space have one big game, and nobody's really been able to replicate that more than... And I think that's kind of the part of it. Like, you get a hit... But nobody knows how to follow up on that. Not in our notes, but go on.
Here's an important question. What happens if you open a fortune cookie and there's nothing inside?
Dun, dun, dun.
You get to treat it the same as every other fortune cookie, which is to say it's bullshit.
Well, this has been a good conversation.
But
we don't have fortune cookies aren't a thing over here, so we don't have to care.
Oh, really? That is...
No, we don't do that.
We
don't
have no fortune, huh?
Sorry, I didn't mean to get off track. I just opened it, and I kind of, like, my heart rate started increasing.
You
anyway.
Will have no fortunes ever.
Apparently not. I suck.
You have no future. But, yes, I mean, kind of, again, not in our notes, but I think Rovio announced this week that they saw a 74% decrease in their revenue from Angry Bird. And, you know, this was one of the big breakout hits of the mobile scene a few years ago, and it seems to be that it's going to a larger and larger shrinking audience. Their hope is that the movie that comes out next year will revitalize interest in the franchise, but that's still years off. Clash of Clans from, I think that's Supercell, Puzzles and Dragons from Gung Ho. A lot of these games are huge, but Puzzles and Dragons thing now is teaming up with popular licenses. They're doing the Mario version soon, and nobody's been able to say, okay, we had this hit. How do we replicate this, or how do we create more?
Isn't that the problem, though? I think because these games are developed just to make money, and if you develop something like a game to just make money, yeah, you might make money out of it, but people aren't going to care like about it as a thing, you know? I mean, if you look at all the best sort of franchises, I guess, in the industry, like Minecraft, you can't get much better than, like, a better example than Minecraft. It wasn't made to make money. It was made because it was a thing that Notch wanted to do, and he did it. And now look at it.
It
I think the cynicism that companies go into these projects with is why they're not able to replicate it, because it's born of cynicism.
Also, remember all those hot Zynga properties and where they are now?
And PopCap, but they were bought by EA. But yeah, I think that's part of what Nintendo was saying, is that they're not going into this to... It's not about, like, how can we make these people whales, which I think is a terrible term, but it is what they call them. And it's more like, what IPs, what properties best fit here? And their intention, I think, again, this is what they said during the press conference, isn't necessarily to have one major monster hit, but it's to have several, big hits. And I think part of that is developing the games in-house, because for all the things people may say about Nintendo, I don't think they've ever lost their ability to make great games. And I think more than any company in the industry, they've shown their ability to adapt to technology. They've done touchscreen games. They've done motion-based games. They've done motion and touchscreen games. Don't necessarily work out well together, but they've done it. So... it's more a matter of seeing if they can succeed in this space. Like, I'm sure their first few games will do well because it's going to be a Mario, it's going to be a Zelda, it's going to be a Pokemon, and those brands will carry them, but they also have to be games with some type of longevity to them.
Well, what games do you think would be
best? The problem is, I'm not very hopeful when I see what Pokemon Shuffle is.
I was going to bring that up, because I know Daniel has had such great experiences with it.
I'll tell you about Pokemon Shuffle. I loved Pokemon Shuffle. Once they discovered that exploit with the web browser to get whatever you want in the game for free, the game was fucking great. I loved it.
I will say, well, two things. One, I just finished Pokemon Shuffle this week, and I didn't have to pay any money out of pocket. I understand why people...
But you finished it?
Yeah.
How many levels are there?
150. And
is
then
that it?
And then there's I think there's like 15 or 20 special stages.
I'm not saying it's a game that's not able to be finished, but
it's a game that
doesn't let me play on my own time.
Oh no, I'm well aware, Martin.
That's the big problem. The terrible energy system bullshit. Absolute worst in free-to-play games.
If I play Pokemon Shuffle the way it was intended to be played, I hate it, because it's 2% catch rate. Are you fucking serious?
Yeah,
you know?
Some of the catch rates are insane. And it's... I have Pokemon that have, like, 65 and better, and I can't catch them. I'm like, what the hell? Like, okay, once should happen, maybe, but, like, you do it 2-3 times in a row, that doesn't add up, mathematically speaking. But I was also going to say the second point is, and this is kind of what I noted at the start, Pokemon is different from other Nintendo IPs in that Nintendo doesn't have direct control over it.
I can't help but think that, like, Nintendo was like, oh, well, we want to make a free-to-play game, and they were like, oh, we've got this Pokemon Link Battle, we could just change that.
I mean, that's a possibility, but at the same time, we've also seen other examples of Nintendo free-to-play with Rusty's Rodeo Baseball and Still Diver Subwar. So we know that they aren't necessarily experimenting with just, like, okay, the basic, people are impatient, so let's just give them this energy system so that they want to pay us right away.
Model do y'all like? Do you like more? I've probably put about an hour into Pokemon Shuffle, and I've really enjoyed it. And when I ran out of crystals or whatever that, you know, didn't let you play, I went off and did something else. But when I came back, I was able to play, you know, 5 or 10 levels each time. And when you check in, they occasionally give you crystals and whatnot. And I enjoyed it. With Rusty's Real Deal Baseball, like, I need to go back and check it out. But I would play part of the game, and then they would want you to buy it eventually, and obviously you haggle down and whatever. That's a little fun experience too, but eventually with Rusty you do have to buy the stuff to continue playing, whereas Pokemon you can wait and play more. Which do y'all prefer?
I have no idea what Rusty's really doing.
Oh yeah, that's not out in Europe.
That's not
out in Europe.
My favorite form of free to play is when the only money I can spend is on cosmetics or XP boosters, and that's basically it.
Honestly speaking, I would just kind of prefer a fiat rate, like, just sell me a game for $5.
Yep. Yeah, but if I have to play a free-to-play game, then it just gives me cosmetic stuff.
I don't play any free-to-play games because, well, the only free-to-play game that I actually play is Team Fortress 2, and I paid for that when it came out. So,
yeah, so that wasn't free. I was about to say, I mean, of the three models that they've done so far, I've actually preferred Steel Diver, in that it gives you content that you can try out, and if you want, you can pay for the full experience.
Well, this is the thing,
over.
Steel Diver is basically just a demo.
Yeah. And that, but that, I mean, it's,
play
game. It's a demo in the sense, but it's also a full game in that you can do pretty much anything with the multiplayer. You'll just be at a disadvantage because you only have like three basic subs and only so many options. I think if they did something like that and gave you the option to either earn it in-game really, really tediously or buy it, I can see that working. Like I said, I am really curious to see what their mobile strategy is, because, yeah, there are a lot of evil, evil strategies in mobile games. I go through a lot of them. And, you know, like, there are ways to be completely evil about it, like Pokemon Shuffle, or there are ways to kind of, you know, you can support it with ads, which get annoying, but, you know, you kick them off or whatever, and they go away. Or, like Martin said, just purely cosmetic. Or, like I said, I would pay $5-$10 for a decent Nintendo made. I mean, they've done really well in their eShop digital offerings, like a Pushmo, Crashmo on the mobile device. I paid for a new one of that. I paid $15 for the last one, or whatever it was on the Wii U.
On the Wii U, yeah.
I have no problem for paying for games. It's just that the mobile space mostly is digital.
Yeah. Because people do have a problem with paying for games, which is ludicrous.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and maybe that's something they can combat. Maybe it's going to be a... Because people pay for Final Fantasy ports on iOS and Android. Those games were some of the highest rated when they came out, as far as, like, you know, being up there on the gross...
Yeah, but have you seen the pricing of those?
Well, I'm not saying for those prices. I'm saying, but maybe Nintendo can come in and make, okay, you know, we have this Mario game. All you have to do is pay $10 for it. And I think people may be like, oh, I want to try this Mario game. Instead of being like, you'll get more people if it's free to play because anybody will try anything for free. But I think if you come in with the quality that Nintendo does come in with, it can work. We shall see. I mean, one of the biggest fears that people have, and I'm kind of with them, is that this does dilute Nintendo's resources. They aren't a big company as it is, and if you own just a Wii U or if you own just a 3DS, I'm sure you've gone through spouts where it's like nothing's coming out. And to add in a third ecosystem for the moment really doesn't help that situation. I assume they'll get outside help, but they'll still need resources from inside to kind of help develop these games and make sure they're good. On the bright side, it looks like DNA is covering most of the post-launch support for them.
Yeah, the thing about resources is actually an important one because, I have not touched my 3DS because there's nothing, absolutely nothing.
Well, I mean, it's codenamed Steam. And I'm playing Fossil Fighters, but we'll get to that in a second.
And those games aren't Nintendo games, so...
Well, no, Fossil Fighters is a Nintendo game.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, it's not in Europe, so...
Well, it's published by them. I don't necessarily know if it's their game. The other thing, I guess, would be the announcement of Nintendo NX, which is their next device. I don't think they specified if it's a console or a handheld, just that they'd have more information on that next year.
Maybe it's both.
Yeah. That would be the smart thing for Nintendo, to be honest.
We have heard a lot of rumors about basically console and handheld coming together. And to be honest, I think we talked about this before on here, that it would be kind of smart, especially we talk about resources being thin if you have two systems and mobile. If console and handheld would go together and basically be the same hardware, that would free up resources.
Yeah, I think when we first talked about this, I thought it would be a bad idea because you do cut off half of your revenue. But if they are going into the mobile space, that can kind of replace or replicate what they would get from having two separate devices. And I can see it. I don't necessarily know if people would be on board for it, but maybe it would still be two separate devices. Like, you can buy, like, a 3DS and you can buy a Wii U, but you can plug in your 3DS and, you know, like, your games, you know, like cross-buy, you can use the games on anything. So you can buy either device separately or you can buy them together, and it's a controller.
Yeah,
well, I think the idea is that, at the very least, you have a game, you make the game once and you can just, say, put it on the 3DS and the Wii U, for example.
Yeah, I'm curious, though, if it would be more like Smash Brothers, where they're basically the same game on an engine level, but have different content to get you to buy it twice.
Well, maybe. I mean, like, why not allow for both?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the problem. That's what Nintendo needs to address is that right now, I say right now, Nintendo's been like this since the beginning of time. They do what they want. They don't do what other people want. And people have moaned that the 3DS is not easy to develop for. People have moaned about their infrastructure, you know, and they've, you know, the whole region free thing as well, you know, and this is Nintendo's opportunity to solve that problem.
I don't think region free is going to change much, but
I don't. I wouldn't be surprised if region free wouldn't change, but you know, it's a problem that people have, and this is Nintendo's opportunity to solve all of those problems in one go. And if they were smart, they would do that.
Well, I mean, really, this announcement was more or less to appease people to say, look, we're not going into the mobile space completely. Like, we're not throwing the entire...
Yeah, it seems to me that the mobile thing is just to shut shareholders up, because they
I think it went up, with like, 30-something percent in that two-day span.
Yep, and it just, like... It just feels, because the shareholders just hop on about mobile all the time. When Nintendo, I don't think Nintendo belongs in mobile. They just need to ask people, third-party developers and their customers, what they want, and then give it to them.
Well, I think that is something that I guess we can kind of talk about now. I do see, like, a lot of companies are moving away from the AAA space because it's a very expensive thing to be in. Like, it's the cool table to sit at, but it's a very expensive table to get into. And I think part of what we saw this week with Konami and Kojima was that kind of hitting the fan, where you have somebody like Kojima who represents the old guard, who wants these big, expensive games, and Konami, who seems to have expanded beyond simply just making games. Because a lot of their money comes from what they have, fitness centers, they do pachinko machines, which is kind of the same thing that Sega does now. So I imagine that, like, something like Metal Gear Solid, which sells well for a AAA game, but Konami has nothing else, really. And you can say that's all on them.
Well, yeah. Pro Evolution Soccer is the other thing they have. If you saw their, what was it, fiscal results from last year or something, there was, like, this table of revenue from video games, and it said soccer, baseball, Metal Gear.
I mean, it worked. but it was a weird situation. I guess to kind of set up the table, since we went to the end instead of starting at the beginning, it came out this week that Kojima would no longer be on the board of directors of Konami. And people thought that was weird, and then as the story evolved, you find out that Kojima's pretty much being forced out of the company at the end of the year. He's always sticking around because he wants to make
sure... He's already just a contractor, including some other people high up in the chain that were part of Kojima Productions.
Yeah, so he's just sticking around to make sure that Metal Gear Solid 5 turns out as well. And he's only doing that for the fans, which is a very noble thing to do. But it seems like by the end of the year, he will be completely gone from Konami.
Possibly the other guys as well.
Yeah, and Kojima Production, I believe, has already been renamed.
The LA studio. It's no longer Koji Pro LA. They are now just Konami LA, I think. What's happening with the Japanese arm, I don't know. At least all the logos of them are gone from the websites regarding Metal Gear and stuff.
Yeah, and it's really kind of sad because, really, I mean, in the gaming space, Kojima is Konami. Like you said, they have soccer and baseball, but those aren't really Western things, because I assume FIFA is bigger in Europe. I don't think Americans care about soccer. No offense.
Revolution Soccer is still pretty big, but yeah, FIFA's bigger.
So, yeah, I mean, Kojima was Konami in the West. And, you know, we've had really disastrous just with the 2DS Castlevania games, S3, I guess, if you want to count the 3DS one. And I think a lot of people brought this up, and I don't think Konami has officially said one way or another, but it also doesn't seem very bright for PT's future.
And everybody was really psyched about that as well.
Yeah, but
apparently... And Guillermo del Toro?
I mean, like I said, they haven't officially commented on it, but I assume he's not making that anymore. You never know.
I suspect that thing is going to get cancelled.
Yeah, from what I understand, from what I've been told, I don't even know if it was... It's that it was never something that was officially commissioned by Konami. It was something that he kind of created as a pet project. And it had, and I guess they never really signed off on it even after the great reaction it had. So we'll see what comes of that. I mean, I wouldn't put it... Companies can be vindictive. I wouldn't put it past them to continue doing the game without him just because.
How sad is that? Like, you get universal praise, and there's like, nah. Nah.
Well, I mean, I think
it's Konami for you.
Yeah.
I mean, remember when Silent Hill 2 came out and everyone loved it, and even Silent Hill 3, and what did they do? They disbanded Team Silent.
Yeah.
That was what Konami did.
Because
they disbanded the team that made some of the greatest games of all time.
Oh, and they also disbanded the team that made the Metroidvania, Castlevania games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they, I mean...
Fuck Igarashi.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it seems like it's a, not necessarily a Konami thing. It seems like as we get further and further into the game industry, a lot of people just don't care for independent voices. I mean, it's the same thing that kind of happened with Ubisoft and Jade Raymond. It kind of happened with Warren Spector, even though I feel like Warren Spector got bigger than he needed to with his Epic Mickey stuff. You know, Cliffy B. Well, I mean, he left on his own accord. Will Wright. A lot of people, it's like your properties are more important than your talent. Like, The Sims continues on without Will Wright. Maxis is dead. Deus Ex continued without Spector. A lot of things have happened. So it's not necessary... And I guess this isn't necessarily a video game only thing. I mean, there are movie franchises that have continued without the original visionaries, and I think most people can usually tell that. I'm looking at you, particularly Terminator and Aliens franchise. But yeah, it was just a disaster. I think the strangest thing about this all, though, is what came out of GameStop spot, where they're like, Konami has issued kind of a gag order on the Kojima and those other executives. And so far, the only thing we've really heard from him is a joint statement that between him and Konami.
Yeah.
I like to think that the Twitter account at Konami _ Hideo is him.
I mean, it could. I mean, what are you going to do, fire him?
Those who don't exist, please pre-order at konami.jp/mgs5, and it's a picture of people who work at Koji Pro. I worked on MGS since 1987. It is time to introduce new talent and pretend I never existed. Please pre-order at konami.jp/mgs5. Do not worry about Fox Engine. It only took a few years to make. We are glad Konami now owns it. Please pre-order at konami.jp/nbs5.
Yeah. I guess kind of continuing that fun train of thought. It's been a while since we had Mass Fire.
Oh, you forgot something.
What else?
That Konami already are hiring for other people to work on future Metal Gear games.
Oh, yes. And I was going to say that when I mentioned Vindictive, because I assume they're going to drag that thing to the ground.
Oh, yeah. We have seen what happened to Silent Hill and to Castlevania. So I expect exactly the same to happen to Metal Gear.
I wonder if we're going to... I wonder if we'll ever see a Metal Gear Rising 2 then, because part of the reason Platinum Games is bought on was because of Kojima himself of their talent.
Yeah. I don't know.
Probably not, because Konami knows what's good for them, and they like to do the opposite. So,
well, yeah. Like I said, most of their money doesn't come from gaming anymore. It's sad, but it's true.
And the problem with that is, I mean, no matter how bad this sounds, what I'm going to say, because that means they're never going to go under, and that means their IPs would probably forever just stay hidden in the vault, and no one will ever do something with them.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that should be a fun time for all. I can't wait.
Remember Contra? Yeah, you're not going to see that ever again.
Yeah, I was about to say, I can't wait until people try to decipher the new Metal Gear Solid stories kind of cynical. At least Kojima can finally say this is his final Metal Gear Solid game.
Yeah.
He actually did say that. There are screenshots floating around of the IGN announcement when the date reveal was, and there's this, apparently this one part in which he says, like, no matter what happens, Metal Gear Solid 5 is the last Metal Gear because it completes the story arc.
Well, I mean, he said that since 2. That's what I was...
He says in a way that it completes the circle of from Metal Gear 1 completely to Metal Gear
Solid 4. Yeah, I get that,
Metal
but I'm
Gear
just saying
4.
That he said that this would be his final Metal Gear since 2.
No, he didn't say it would be his final Metal Gear. It is the final Metal Gear.
Oh yeah, it won't be the final Metal Gear, but it will be his final Metal Gear. Because I'm sure the character of Snake existed and will continue to exist, and I'm sure they'll butcher the story in some fashion. Even though I can't really decipher the story as it is.
It's not
moving
very complicated.
Moving on. Evolution announced some layoffs this week, and I guess they're going to become a company that provide services for Drive Club, which a lot of people just kind of means they're going to get the DLC season pass stuff out and maybe close up shop.
And never release the PlayStation Plus edition?
I think they said I assume they're working on the PlayStation Plus edition. I would imagine that the PlayStation Plus edition will become a free-to-play title.
Probably.
Yeah, they've been talking about, what did they say, like, focus on turning Drive Club into a service, so that sounds likely.
Yeah. Games as a service is still such a weird concept, but people keep on running with it.
I'm not that big a fan of Evolution Studios, to be honest. I'm more sad, even if they are closed, I'm still way more bitter about Sony's closing Studio Liverpool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
I mean, they closed Studio Liverpool, basically, so Evolution could go on, and I don't think that was the right decision.
Well, Studio Liverpool had made nothing but fantastic games.
Yeah.
And I don't recall anybody having any particular love for anything that Evolution made.
They were all right. That's basically all I can say about the games. They are all right.
Well, I don't want to sound too negative on this, but we'll get to. I guess we'll cover this in an envoy thing. We've said this before. Sony has really terrible methods of controlling their companies. Like, they let them do their own thing, and then when it doesn't work, they kind of shut them down.
Yeah,
there's been a lot of studios that Sony has closed down. Like, Microsoft tends to get that reputation, but I feel like Sony has done it more often.
Well,
but
I think Microsoft has the opposite of problem where they have a studio that does nothing but release trash, and for some reason, they're still keeping them alive, and nobody really seems to know what it is that they're doing.
I didn't know if you met Roy Ironhead, really. but, yes, because we also kind of, I mean, the week prior, we had the announcement that Uncharted 4 would be delayed until 2016, which is good in the sense that they got the delay way out early in the year, but it does kind of leave a gap in their right now for the 2015 fall lineup.
There's not a gap. I'll tell you why. Because they'll just fill it with a remaster.
Which they announced this week with God of War 3.
Yeah. Waiting on the on that Beyond Two Souls remaster.
Yeah.
Because we know it's going to happen.
I think it says more than anything that it's God of War 3 and not even the God of War HD collection.
Yeah.
So I imagine they'll try to
Ascension.
Well, I think Ascension makes sense because nobody cares about Ascension.
Exactly.
Well, this is the thing, though, is they could have done a Master Chief Collection. It's the 10-year anniversary. There's no reason why not. You bundle the HD version of 1 and 2 with the new version of 3 on the PS4. Done. Get it out of the store. Yeah, and then they could have charged $60 for it instead of $40.
The funny thing is, and this is kind of the same thing I have to ask of us, neither one of those games are bad-looking games. Like, yes, you can improve them, but they were already great-looking games, so it's not even like you're changing a ton.
God of War 3 is basically just an up-res.
Yeah, it's
nothing
like...
nothing more.
It's like, it's just, let's find the cheapest and quickest game we can do and just port it upwards.
Yep, and ask for $40.
And remember, 60 FPS isn't important, but God of War 3 runs at 60 FPS now. That's how not important.
It ran at 45 on PS3, which was fine.
Yes, but yes, God of War 3 Remastered was announced. There's also rumors of Gravity Rush HD.
I'm pretty sure that's basically confirmed because it showed up on a ratings board.
Yeah, and...
well, they already took away the Vita's best exclusive.
Well, I was also going to say, this is pretty much what they did with the PSP as well. After a while, they just port the games up to the PS3, and it's like, it makes sense. Nobody's played it on the PS Vita, so...
You know what? How could you say that? What if they port that Uncharted game for this holiday season?
Nobody wants that game.
Wow. That's a stretch. That's a stretch.
If they give it away for free on PlayStation Plus, sure, but... I mean, even as a...
I could totally see that happening.
I could see... hey, they could just do a bundle. Do the Uncharted, do the Killzone, and do the Resistance game they all put out for PS Vita. Actually,
from... this game is horrible.
I was about to say, from what I remember, your Killzone review, you preferred the Killzone Vita game over...
oh, the Killzone Vita game is really good.
So, yeah. I mean, they're doing with Tearaway... they're doing a... not a Tearaway remake. I guess a remake. Not a sequel.
Same game, but with more stuff.
Yes. So, an enhanced edition, a definitive edition, I guess. So, I mean, E3's a few weeks away. Well, months away, I guess. 2.5 months away. We'll see. I don't expect... like, Sony doesn't have the history of announcing a major title at E3 and having it come out the same year, but... I mean, what, the Shadow of the Beast? The Last Guardian can come out any day?
Something else. It's just that Uncharted is so big that announcing it very early on is not a big deal.
Yeah,
I mean, if they have something new, that's usually not something you announce, like, 2 years in advance, because nobody cares if you don't see anything from it.
Yeah, and I kind of was holding out hope that maybe it would be God of War 4, but with the announcement of the remastered, I don't see that coming out this year. If anything, I see it being bundled with the demo of God of War 4.
Maybe.
And not necessarily the same Sony, but I figured we might as well talk about this. Sony put out a trailer for Pixels, which is the Adam Sandler video game comedy, which I don't actually think looks awful.
I think it looks like shit.
I think it looks like a Adam Sandler film, so yeah, I'm agreeing.
Well, yes, that's it's a conflict for me. I think the concept sounds interesting, and it looks interesting. I think the idea of, like, having video game creatures come to life is kind of novel. It's kind of like Ghostbusters.
It's so novel, Futurama's already done it.
You said it exactly. All I see is it's Ghostbusters with video game characters that
which
for some reason are made alive by aliens. It's fucking stupid. Of course it's just video games from the 80s, the whole concept of, oh yeah, we set this thing up, and then, because video game executives don't know anything about video games beyond the 80s, so that's all we are getting.
But I mean, it makes sense too, because I think that's culturally when video games are most similar. Like, I mean, what would you send up nowadays? You'd have so many different franchises you send up. It'd probably take them years to decipher which ones are worth it. And it's all going to be white guys with guns, which is pretty much just humans. I don't like Adam Sandler's brand of humor, so that part of it turns me off. But I think the concept, I think the concept's interesting. Let's be honest, my taste in movies isn't necessarily something we want up for debate, but I'll probably see it at some point, not in theaters.
You know what's funny?
Not quite
when
at that level.
The massive, the bigger Sony Pictures hack, right? There was an email floating around, right?
Yeah.
There's a general blahness to the films we produce. Although we managed to produce an innovative film once in a while, The Social Network, Moneyball, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, we continue to be saddled with the mundane, formulaic Adam Sandler films. And yet here we are with another one.
I mean, honestly, the problem is that they make money, and it would be really terrible for an executive to say,
how?
No.
I don't know how.
Because, I mean, I don't think his last movie made a ton of money. And here's the funny thing about Hollywood. It takes a lot of bombs in your resume for people to stop giving you money.
Yeah, because Kevin Smith managed to get money for his films.
Because, I mean, okay, I guess it didn't bomb, but his last film was Blended, which was, from what I've read in reviews, really awful. And it had a budget of $40 million, and it made $126.8 million in the box office, so it tripled its gross. And that's part of the problem, is he brings in money. And
I don't understand who watches these films. I don't personally know anyone who watches them.
I think it's a very tiny window. Like, I used to like his films when I was younger, but they were also better, I think.
Happy Gilmore is still fucking good.
Yeah. But that's the thing, is like you build up this resume and then you have like this built in, you can keep failing until we say so. Because, I mean, his past decade of work has been awful.
Not you know what? When he was in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, he actually made me laugh, and I was like, what is going on? Like, I'm assuming this is due to Andy Samberg, not because of
it's
Adam Sandler.
Probably not because he has written his own dialogue.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I think he writes and produces a lot of these films, and he has a very simple sense of humor, and that's in all of his movies, and he doesn't go away from it because he doesn't have any reason. Like, his films do terribly critically, but they do well commercially, so he has a reason to keep doing them. So yes, that is our end of Sony rant for the year. I guess continuing with the video game movie crossover, Jason Voorhees from the Friday the 13th franchise and Predator from the Predator franchise have been announced for. Okay, one has been announced. The other one is rumored and leaked for Mortal Kombat X.
Well, it's now out because the trailer is out for the combat with the four new characters.
Oh yeah, I get that. I mean, I don't think it's been officially announced by
I'm pretty sure they just put out the trailer now that everyone knows.
Okay, we might as well since everybody else has seen it. But yeah, I'm actually kind of disappointed. I was hoping they'd bring back Freddy from Mortal Kombat 9 so that you can get that Freddy versus Jason fight.
Yeah, the rumor is that was always that Jason was planned for the last Mortal Kombat, but the deal just broke down apparently or something.
That sounds like the history of Freddy versus Jason in movies.
Yeah, and so that never happened, sadly. So now just having Jason is kind of weird in that sense.
Yeah.
But whatever.
I guess they're going to wait until Mortal Kombat implodes and then they'll do it because that's when you need the money. This is how we got Freddy versus Jason. I mean,
those guest characters are fine for Mortal Kombat, I think. Yeah. They are brutal characters that will fit fine in that sense. But on the other hand, I'm kind of also there with thinking that I kind of think that guest characters are dumb.
Okay, let's be honest. As cool as the Predator and Jason might be, the real star of all of this is Carl Weathers as Jax. I think that is like the greatest thing ever.
It's weird how, like, the minute that, like, Mortal Kombat seems to, I say Mortal Kombat, NetherRealm seems to sort of care about the Mortal Kombat universe, that they start putting these characters in.
Well, I think they still care. I mean, usually
those guest characters in Mortal Kombat are not part of the story mode.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yes. I think in this case it works in the sense that it's DLC, so it's kind of like fantasy. It's kind of like how Mario Kart has Link and the people from Animal Crossing now. It's like it's really cool. It doesn't affect the core game, but it's really kind of cool because I get these awesome extra characters if I want them.
Yeah.
And I think that's what DLC should be, like that really out there fan fiction-y stuff. Because you also get characters who aren't in Mortal Kombat, and I put it in Mortal Kombat VR. Like, you get, I think, Sonya, Kano, Yu Kane, and stuff like that.
Still, in the case of Mortal Kombat X, there are probably still a couple of characters that, I mean, core Mortal Kombat characters that you would rather see than those two guest characters. Or even new characters, like when I see this, what is it called? Aaron Black or something? The cowboy dude. I think that's a really cool design. I would have liked more like that.
Well, I mean, we shall see. It's just very fun and goofy. But like I said, I know it contradicts because this is all pretty much DLC that they're showing and announcing before the game comes out. And people usually find that sketchy, but at the same time, it's really... I think if you put them in the game, it would hurt the integrity of their final product. Because then, like, what is Predator and Jason doing in the game? But if you have them as something you buy later on, it's like, oh, cool, Jason and Predator are in the game. Though Predator should be OP as hell. I guess you're Arnold. We also had, Math Weekend, I guess about a week now. I don't remember their names. The people who announced Project Ukulele, the ex-Rare developers.
Playtonic.
Yeah.
Playtonic Games, yes. They kind of had this pseudo thing at, Rez? Is that what the hero thing?
Yep. Yeah, but I was there. Not when
there.
They announced it, but I was there at the weekend it was on.
Yeah.
And
they didn't show much of the game. They didn't show anything of the game. They showed concept art. And I think part of it is they want to save that for the Kickstarter. But, I mean, the idea of getting a kind of retro, I guess now it's been almost 15 years since these things were born, a retro kind of Mario 64 collectathon platformer. I mean,
me on the other hand, as soon as I saw that thing, and it said, yeah, we're putting a bunch of collectibles in it, and I'm like, yeah, I'm out. No, thank you. That's exactly what I hated about your games.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with you, but at the same time, we don't get games like that anymore, so it's just like, oh, it's kind of like weird nostalgia, like, yes, I'll take it because it's something different, but it's like, I didn't like you back then. Because, yes, somebody asked them about Donkey Kong 64, and this is one of the reasons I absolutely hate Donkey Kong 64, is because that was the culmination of that Rare design, where it's like, we're just going to give you 150 things to collect, we're not going to give you a reason for it, you're just going to collect it because this is how you finish the game. And with Donkey Kong, you had different color bananas, which had to be collected by different monkeys, and there's five different monkeys, and you're back. It's very tedious, but they know about that, so it seems like they're going to be smart about it.
We will see.
The other thing
at least not as enthusiastic about this whole deal as some other people are.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that actually scared me off a bit was the notion of kind of like their Marvel Cinematic Universe, where they are going to introduce characters in this game who could potentially spin off into their own game and different genres. And I think, you know, the idea is novel, but I feel like it's cheap to introduce characters for the sake of, like, oh, we're going to make a game out of them.
This is it. Like, if it makes sense to do it, then do it. But wait until you figure out that it makes sense first.
I agree with that. I think it's kind of terrible if you think about stuff like that right from the start.
Yeah.
Because if their game bombs, then they have a bunch of characters that they don't know have anything to do with.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, if you make sure this first game is good before you start talking about, like, oh, we're going to spin them off into kart racing and maybe a shooter and an adventure. Like, no. Make sure this game works. Like, you don't even know if this is going to succeed. Like, we have, like, I mean, I guess the most famous example, Mario has spun off a ton of great franchises, but Mario itself was never designed as a way to launch these franchises. It's just something that naturally came through the course of the franchise. And in some cases, we kind of talked about Mortal Kombat earlier. Mortal Kombat tried that earlier, and the first example of it was a completely awful game with Sub-Zero, and then they kind of got it right with Shaolin Monks because it made sense for the characters. And then they never tried it again.
Yeah.
But yes, the Kickstarter for this will launch in May. It's a really weird Kickstarter, and it's a really weird how they're selling it. Like, they said they have the money, and they'll make the game no matter what. But they want to do a Kickstarter to get more funds.
And they're probably going to use it as a pre-order service, because there are a lot of people doing that now.
I imagine the big thing is going to be getting people to pay for them to port it over to consoles. But yeah, it's weird to kind of sell yourself as like, yes, we have the money, but we're asking you for more money, because it's like, yeah, even if I don't support you, this game's already being made, and you told me that much. I guess kind of on the same note, and kind of going back to what we were talking about with Pokemon Shuffle, Tron Mode Elephant was announced for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
And I've played it.
But yes, this is the game from Creatures, who are usually the developers behind the Pokemon titles.
Game Freaks.
Wow. Okay, yeah, one of those. There's like 15 companies involved in Pokemon, I'm sorry. But yes. Game Freak, and this comes from their initiative, I assume because everybody got burnt out of making Pokemon games all the time, where like you can create a little game on your free time, and if it's well enough, they'll flesh it out into a bigger title. And this is like Sonic the Hedgehog on speed, if that makes any sense. It's just a game where you're a giant elephant just trucking through stuff as fast as possible.
That's pretty much how it is when you play it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for it. I am shocked a bit that it's not coming on the platforms that the biggest platform and user base and the one that they sometimes mostly work with, but I have to share this because I think this is the greatest example, the greatest reason ever for not porting a game over, is they made a concept poster and they thought that the three logos would well together and they went with that. I mean, it's a reason. Not a great reason, but heck. If I had to make up bullshit, I'd make up that too. And then I guess before we kind of get into tiny news, Atari on TKX, which was a Tempest...
GXK.
I even wrote it down in the notes to correct myself. But yes, Atari is suing... What are they doing? They're blocking the game, but are they suing him?
They're basically saying, they're telling Jeff Minter that he has to give them, if he wants to release the game on PC and PS4, which is what he was intended to do, because currently the only platform that has it is the Vita, he needs to, obviously first he needs to get Atari's approval to do so, and in order to do that he needs to give them all of the source code and probably give them all the money for it, like all the money that the game makes, which is ridiculous because they're claiming that the music is the same as in Tempest 2000. They're claiming that it uses Tempest 2000 source code, which it doesn't, according to Jeff Minter.
I imagine the sad thing is he probably doesn't have the money to fight them on this.
No, he doesn't, which is why he's not.
Yeah, so Sony will come out and help. Maybe somebody would help them, but it really does suck because Atari isn't even Atari. Atari, I believe this is the third incarnation of Atari, and it's more of a legal firm now who are just trying to keep Atari's trademarks, because Atari apparently has a ton of trademarks. They don't release games. I don't even think they're in the game industry proper anymore.
They do. They are developing games.
Do they?
Yeah, they are developing
mobile games.
The problem is if you look at all the games that they have made since this latest incarnation popped up, and all the games that are intended to come out, they are all terrible. Like, all of them. They made a Roller Coaster Tycoon game for iOS, and it looks exactly like the first one. Like, even the rides have, like, 4 frames of animation, just like the first one that came out in the 90s. It's ridiculous.
And they also announced a new one for PC, if you look at it.
Yeah, there's a new one.
It looks worse than Roller Coaster Tycoon 3, which came out, 8 years ago?
Yep, correct. And their excuse was, maybe we shouldn't have, maybe we showed it too soon. And there's also a new Alone in the Dark coming, which is a co-op multiplayer shooter, which is exactly what you think of when you think of Alone in the Dark, isn't it?
Wait, isn't there another one that's become... That's not them, though. Is it, what, Asteroids or Space
Invaders? There's an Asteroids multiplayer FPS coming, yeah.
Yes, okay, that's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. That's not from them, is that?
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah.
If you think Edge Asteroid, you think multiplayer first class shooter, right?
That's exactly what I think of when I think of Asteroid. I mean, what do you think of? So not only are they patent trolls, but they also want to ruin any reputation that Atari had.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even like up to the end of the last incarnation of Atari, they were making some really good games. They got Jeff Minter to make Space Invaders Extreme, and that game was fantastic.
Yeah.
How the mighty have fallen. How the mighty have fallen.
The real sad thing is, Jeff Minter is basically, he's not the creator of Tempest, but someone else, but he is the guy behind Tempest 2000. That is so far correct.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's not like Atari is going to do anything similar to Tempest, so he was just making basically a spiritual successor. Lots of people are doing these days.
Just wait until they turn Tempest into a first-person shooter.
Jeff Minter was making a spiritual successor to a game that he made, right? And Atari are trying to sue him for using source code and music that he's responsible for.
I don't...
Even though he's not using them! It's ridiculous.
It's just really just screwing with the... his fans at this point. It really does suck. What
it's
doesn't
a sad
suck?
State of affairs.
What
especially
doesn't
when
suck?
I heard, he was planning on doing this to PS4. I would have played it on PS4. It's kind of cool. But now, probably not going to happen.
Yeah, I guess if we're talking about franchises that are being beaten to the ground, Ubisoft announced a new Driver game this week.
I love the how like they managed to sort of go, yeah, this is actually a proper Driver game with this one. Can't believe it.
Yes, because technically, I mean, I guess you drive a boat.
The cynicism.
It's not even that though. It's like we put a yellow skin with black stripes on the boat, so it must be a Driver game.
The cynicism of the creation of this is amazing.
I can't believe it.
Well, I mean, on the bright side, it's all your mobile, so you don't have to pay attention to it.
Yeah, all I can think of is, like, they had this game, and some dude said, you basically drive around, right? It's just a boat, right? Okay, let's put the driver name on it. Because people will recognize that. That means sales.
Yeah, I mean, I know this kind of contradicts what we were talking about earlier with Nintendo, but I'm also kind of curious if there's a brand to drive. Like, Drive is a very generic name as it is, so people are like, oh my gosh, there's a new driver on iPad now, I need to get it. And it's like, no, the driver I was thinking of had cars, didn't it? Why is this a boat? Like, what
the last driver bombed.
Not to mention the fact that Driver 1 and 2 were alright, but Driver 3 was not good at all, and then nobody really cared until Driver San Francisco, and even then, like, it was good, but it wasn't setting the world on fire, you know?
Wait, the game's already out?
No, not yet.
Okay. According to Wikipedia, it came out in December of last year. So, is there anything else you folks want to talk about as far as news goes? I think we're through everything.
Oh, hang on, no. If you live in New Zealand, you can download Driver Speedboat Paradise on your iPad right now.
Right now. Right now.
Fighting.
Okay. So, since we have a few minutes to spare, let's talk about games we've been playing.
Woo!
Woo! Woo! I'll go first because I'm selfish like that, and I'm actually playing a new game. I'm playing Fossil Fighters Frontier, which is the new Fossil Fighters for the Nintendo 3DS. This is my first Fossil Fighters. I believe there's two other games. I don't know if they all made it West Side. And I feel like the easiest comparison people would make is to Pokemon, but I don't really get Pokemon in this design. It's, I would say closer to Digimon, I guess. So basically, you drive around a city digging up dinosaur bones. The dinosaur bones you dig up are then converted into, okay, Viviosaurs, because for some reason they don't want to call them dinosaurs. You dig up, you use the dinosaurs that you revive, they form into, I think there's like 100 different Viviosaurs. And then you use them to battle other Viviosaurs, and they level up, and they earn new abilities. Which kind of sounds like Pokemon in some concept. But unlike Pokemon, unlike a lot of RPGs, the battle system is really strange, I guess. I mean, it's really simple and straightforward, but instead of having multiple people on your team, you have one Viviosaur who you kind of use in battle, and then you have two friends who are with you, and those friends have I'm going to call them dinosaurs, who go into battle with you. You can't control what they do, but they make up your party. So, like, if you have a party of three, it's you and then two other people. You control what your dinosaur does, and then the other two go at their own leisure, and they have support and stuff like that. It's an odd design choice to not give you full control over your entire party in an RPG, and you don't even necessarily get to control which dinosaurs they have. You pick your partners, your pals, as they're called, based on which dinosaurs they come with and which type of support they offer. So I guess that's part of the strategy, is figuring out which two people you should go with and like what they offer. Like, you don't want to have people who are pretty much going to be like pure strength or pure healing, I guess. The battle system itself is fairly rudimentary. How it works, and at this part I do like, is you dig up dinosaur bones. You can dig up four parts of a dinosaur. You can dig up the dinosaur's head, the dinosaur's arm, the torso, and the legs. The first time you dig up any part of the dinosaur, it will revive it and create the dinosaur for you. And then each part of the dinosaur has a different move. So, like, if you dig up the head, it gets one attack. If you dig up the arms, it gets a second attack. If you dig up the etc. And depending on which bones, you can form a dinosaur with all four parts, and that's how you get the four moves for the dinosaur, which I think is a really cool idea. And then, I guess later on, I'm really like 2.5 hours in, later on you can unlock special ones, which gives them different moves. And then you can only equip, like, you can only have one piece of the head on a dinosaur, so you have to pick which attack you want from there, and stuff like that. So I think that concept is really fun. I just wish the battle system was more engaging. Right now I find it more enjoyable to drive around and dig up dinosaur fossils, which you do with the touch screen by, you hammer out rocks and then you have to drill it. It's really straightforward and simple, but it's kind of cool because you have, like, a point system and a timer and stuff like this. You fight random dinosaurs on the world map to level up. There's special battles, there's tournaments, you go around doing quests. So it's a fun little game right now. I've been enjoying myself. And it has the cheesiest and most fun opening theme song in quite a while. It's like a really bad 90s cartoon.
The best kind.
Yeah, I was actually surprised this isn't like a cross-media project. I mean, it has dinosaurs, it has cars, and it has monsters. I mean, that's a trifecta if I've ever seen one. I'd make a cartoon out of it.
Yeah.
The 90s, dinosaurs alone would have made this a cartoon.
Yeah, I think dinosaurs would be making a big comeback with Jurassic World this year.
Dinosaurs are fucking cool. Very underutilized in video games.
I think because we're kind of at the... I mean, because we had that curve where we had animals, and then I think because dinosaurs are so badass that you can't really have them as cannon fodder. I mean, even like Turok the Dinosaur Hunter, like, dinosaurs weren't your major enemy, it was usually rivals.
Let me tell you about a game called Monster Hunter.
Yeah, the game is basically about killing dinosaurs.
Yes, but even Monster Hunter, it's kind of, you have one big battle. It's like a bunch of boss battles.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Well, tell us about Monster Hunter.
Yeah, I bought a new 3DS XL so I can play Monster Hunter for Ultimate. But the game is fucking amazing. If that game isn't in, like, the very top of my top 10 at the end of the year, I would be surprised. One thing that actually really surprised me when I played this, this has a kind of decent single-player storyline in it, unlike the previous games with a lot more cutscenes and stuff like that. That's really cool.
Wait, so there are cutscenes other than this is the giant monster you have to kill in this game?
Yeah. There are more. And there's actually story development. There's something going on about a virus that's turning monsters in even more dangerous things and stuff like that. It's cool. I mean, it's not the most amazing storyline, but it's actually fun to play through. The environments this time around are very diverse, I feel like. Way more even than in Monster Hunter 3. They got rid of the underwater hunts, so no more of bad swimming mechanics, so that's great. But instead they added all these new traversal mechanics of climbing and jumping off cliffs and doing jumping moves and jumping on top of monsters and then while you're at them stabbing them into the back and stuff like that. And all that really opens up the combat system and they added a bunch of new moves which make the battles even more interesting than they were before. Into these new mechanics also plays the new insect blade, which is a really interesting weapon in the sense that it's kind of like a quarterstaff, but it also has a blade. And on the other end, it has like this bark in it. So you have like quarterstaff moves and you can actually use it to jump, which is cool. You basically vault yourself. Which makes this a very useful weapon to get on top of monsters. And it also has this insect, which you use to... You basically shoot this insect at different parts of monsters, and you get essence out of it, which you use to buff yourself, in the sense of give yourself more speed and better recovery and stuff like that. That's a real interesting weapon, and not something was before Monster Hunter. So, this is also played online a lot. And as always in Monster Hunter, I have to say, even with just having text chat in there, the Monster Hunter community is just really nice and forthcoming. Even when you need something, a lot of people will just help you out and stuff like that. It's just a really fun time.
Well, I mean, on a similar note to that, I've heard a lot of people say that this is probably the most user-friendly Monster Hunter to get into.
Oh, yeah. I thought, like I said, my first real Monster Hunter was Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate. I have played Monster Hunter 2. Monster Hunter...
Freedom 2?
Freedom Unite 2.
Yeah.
That's what I've played before. But I didn't really get into that because, like I said, I didn't think it was very penetrable at that point. Monster Hunter 3 was good enough for me, but this game is even easier to get into. They actually made the single player hunts easier in the sense of the monsters have less health and stuff like that. But they also explain a lot more of the different mechanics, and you also get like these palicos right from the start, which are the cats that help you out in battle. So they help you distract the monster so you can more easily attack it and stuff like that, which is something you normally before wouldn't have right from the start or wouldn't have at all. So you would have to fight the monster completely on your own. In that sense, also way easier to get into as a newcomer.
Okay, I was curious what that meant. I enjoy it, but it's also really dense. Like I have Monster Hunter Ultimate 3 or 3 Ultimate, whatever you want to call it, on the Wii U, and I enjoyed it and I got into it. But then it's kind of like it takes a while to kind of get not even kind of get into it, but just kind of to get going beyond the tutorial parts. I hear this game isn't as heavy on that, but you get better guides if that. Is that how it works?
Yeah, you get way faster into hunting the real monsters in this one than I felt in Monster Hunter 3. Basically, the benchmark in Monster Hunter has been after you have killed your first great Jedi, then the real Monster Hunter starts. And you get to that point in Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate faster than ever before. Because that's the first medium-sized monster that you hunt. Previously, in the previous games, you had way more quests before that where they just sent you out to collect stuff or hunt a bunch of small monsters. And that's not the case in this one. So you get way faster to that point where you actually hunt a bigger monster, where you actually then try to get parts, that, to create weapons and stuff like that. You get to that way faster.
I'm glad that these developers are doing this kind of stuff, just because I remember Fire Emblem was something that I was not really looking forward to getting into, but it's not that they dumbed it down, but they just made it more accessible and more approachable for newcomers, and from what it sounds like, Monster Hunter 4 is doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's easy to get into, but don't get fooled into they have dumbed down anything. All right. The mechanics when it comes to food and all that stuff, it's still all in there. It's just that they, like I said, they explain stuff easier, they get you to this stuff faster, and so on a casual level, if you just want to play through the single player stuff, you would be totally fine. But if you get really into Monster Hunter and want to kill G rank monsters, and you have to think about how to construct custom armor sets to get the right stats and abilities and stuff like that, then that's all still in there. It's not like you're missing out on that stuff.
Okay.
So
I shared my impressions of this when I got mine a few weeks ago, but I'm kind of curious, because I assume Monster Hunter uses it better than what I've been playing. What is your experience with the new 3DS?
I really like it. Like I said, I have the XL. I didn't go for the smaller model, which we have here.
Choice.
Yeah.
Isn't moving on. Nice?
It's really good in the hand. I kind of don't mind the right stick. I think it's all right. I heard a lot of complaints, but I immediately was fine.
I would call it a stick. But
yeah,
okay.
It's a nub. Let's call it a nub, okay?
Yeah.
I think it works fine for what it is. It's most games you will probably just use it for a little bit of camera control, and for that, I think it works fine. What was immediately noticeable for me that everything seems to work faster on it. Just going between stuff like friends list or into the eShop and all that stuff, it all just seems faster, which is nice. Download times have also been faster, but I felt like they're still kind of slow.
You're still downloading it off of Nintendo.
Yeah, when I download Monster Hunter, it still took me like over an hour, I think.
Yep.
Which is not great. And I kind of wanted to buy the game on disc, but it's sold out here in Germany. Monster Hunter is kind of popular.
Yeah, which is actually one of the things that was kind of that came out of February MPDs, is that it had its biggest opening in the West in February with the launch of the new 3DS and Monster Hunter 4. So.
Yeah. Monster Hunter and the new Majora's Mask version are kind of the two things that are really selling out here. So, I think Majora's Mask is again available, but Monster Hunter is still tricky to get. But yeah, overall, I think this is a nice machine. I also tried out the 3D for a bit. I'm not really into the whole 3D thing, so basically for me it was just trying out how the whole viewing angle thing works to see if that really is an improvement, and I think that seems to work fine for the most part. I didn't try it in the dark or anything, but as far as I know, that should still work.
Yeah,
I think it's based on infrared, right?
Kind of piggybacking off of that, I thought it works well for the most part. I find that there are two things that it doesn't really work as well in the dark. I don't know if that's because of me, and it's not necessarily great if you wear glasses. I find that sometimes it kind of creates an after image because I guess it doesn't know where my eyes are.
Okay, makes sense.
So like sometimes I will have it on and I will use it for a while and I'm like, it's really weird because it's like a shadow. And I'm like, yeah, I have to turn this off because it makes me dizzy. But it is better. It's just, it does have some headaches.
Okay. Yeah, I don't wear glasses. So for me, that wasn't an issue. But again, I turned off the 3D after giving that again a bit of a try, because the whole 3D thing is just, I don't know, I don't need it. But yeah, overall, I had a really good experience with the new 3DS so far. I'm curious as to how far it will go with games specifically designed for the thing. I will probably not get Xenoblade because I played that already. I mean, not the whole game, but 20 hours of it, so I don't want to play
that. That's the only game
yet.
You're going to have to go off, because it's not like they're going to make any more.
Yeah,
That's the only thing, the interesting thing. Will they make it, or will they make it 3DS, new 3DS enhanced versions of games? Because it's a weird sign, because if you start doing that, you're going to piss off people. If you don't do that, you're going to piss off people.
Yeah. And Monster Hunter is already an enhanced game, as far as I know.
Yeah, and so it's called Name Steam. And I assume there are going to be others, especially when it comes to like Amiibo support, because it has built-in Amiibos support instead of having to buy a stand or something like that. But Martin isn't necessarily an Amiibo person.
Nintendo hasn't spoken about the adapter, have they, at all?
No, they said it's coming out summer of this year.
Oh, bullshit.
That's all they've given us recently.
Yeah, and then when they do come out, you won't be able to buy one for love nor money, like most Nintendo things nowadays.
You can always buy a new 3DS. They're on store shelves right now.
I will do when they're less than £100.
And the other new game I have been playing that's also kind of big is City Skylines. On
what SimCity should have been.
Exactly. That's basically the perfect summation of what this game is. It's what the last SimCity should have been. This game is really great. I have not played a SimCity game in a while. Basically, my last one was SimCity 4. I played a bit of a new SimCity. Daniel can tell you about it, because I tried to get it on sale. But it ran like shit, so I got my money back from EA. But I can still compare it to that game, since I played for a bit and saw a lot of it. It's way better. I mean, it's playable offline. The cities you can create in it are huge. They give you lots of great tools when it comes to laying out roads and stuff. They have straight roads, they have curved roads, they have a freeform road tool. You can even create different heights of roads. You can basically create your own weird intersections if you're into that, and then save them. There are lots of interesting buildings, like, you know, that can, for example, attract tourists, and then you have to figure out how do you get your tourists into the city, maybe except through the highway, because your highway is already congested because you were stupid enough to build the commercial district right next to it. and stuff like that. It's a really good game, and I was shocked when I learned that Colossal Order is just like 13 people. And if you compare the game that came out of that compared to the last SimCity.
That didn't have EA messing around.
And apparently the game is doing really well for Paradox. And I think that's nice to see, because it's a great game, and this game doing well is really fantastic. Oh, and it even has amazing mod support. Like, in the first week, people had, like, visual mods for, like, buildings that, if you don't like how the buildings look in this game, here, download all these different buildings to make the city look however you want. Or, hey, you don't like that you have to bulldoze abandoned buildings yourself? Here's a mod that does that for you, and all this other stuff.
The best mod is the one that turns the in-game Twitter feed into a real Twitter feed.
Oh yeah, that's in there as well. Yeah, it's really, really cool. And the first patch is already out, which actually integrated a couple of the mods that people made into the game, because the developers realized that a few of those things would be useful. Like, there was a mod that let you that improve the road upgrades tool. Basically, you previously you couldn't like upgrade a two-way road into a one-way road or the other way around, and that mod allowed that. And in the patch that just came out, that is now integrated into the game. And stuff like that. So, yeah, if the developers continue this way and people are continue to support this game this way, this will probably be a real healthy title for people that are into city building for quite a while.
Okay. Is there any other games people want to talk about before we wrap up this show for this week?
Well, we mentioned it earlier, and I played Tembo the Badass Elephant, and amongst other things at Res, but Tembo was probably like the most, aside from Guild Wars, which is a game that's already out, the most non-indie game, I guess. It basically is just kind of Sonic, but it's a bit slower than Sonic. You get like, there's a lot, it has a very kind of elephant-y sense of humor about it, in the sense that you pick up peanuts and they make peanut butter, and the peanut butter is like a measure of how much life you have, and it's just really weird in the sense that you can fill up on water and you can use water to sort of grow these flowers, and the flowers you can jump on and they like bounce you around the level, and there's a bunch of sort of hidden areas in the level where you pick up people, and the people were sort of your measure of how well you did in the level, and there are like the enemies, some enemies you can just charge through, and that's actually kind of really satisfying, just charging through things and watching them blow up into a million pieces. And there's also some enemies that you have to sort of you have to charge at specific points in time and maybe squirt with water before you charge at them, or you know, you have to fight them very particular ways, but they don't sort of impede your progress. And it's really strange to just play a Game Freak game on PC. Like, this game is not coming out on any Nintendo platform, and I'm playing it on a PC, and it's made by Game Freak. Just very strange, but otherwise it's really cool. If you like platformers, then you're probably going to really like Tembo the Badass Elephant, because it's really cool.
But if you like platformers, you might also not want to buy it, because you've seen what Sega does with their platformer franchises.
I think as long as it's not Blue Hedgehog, you'll be alright.
Well, also, I haven't gotten into it, but I'm going to, because now the price is right. Renegade Kids Zeo Drifter is now, instead of $10, $5 on the 3DS eShop. It's kind of a Metroidvania style of style of play with a old 8-bit art style. It's got some pretty positive reviews, so I'm going to pick that up probably after this podcast and give it a go this week.
Okay.
And if you're in Europe, buy it on PC, because you can't get it on any Nintendo console.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that in the news, but I think the ESRB, the PEGI, are doing ratings for like mobile games now, which is going to be an interesting game changer.
Yeah, they kind of up their workload.
Yeah, it's up to them.
I think it's Google's shouldering the workload for that, because currently it's only a Google Play thing. It's a nice move, I think, because it means that people, like, you get a universal rating system, kind of, instead of just a wishy-washy one that Google decides on.
Okay. So, just kind of as a thing, since we'll be gone for 2 weeks again, over the next 2 weeks, the big game, I think, is Bloodborne, which comes out this Tuesday for PlayStation 4. And fingers crossed, this will be the first major, big, must-have exclusive for the PlayStation 4. Week after that, sees Axiom Verge come out on the PlayStation 4. I think it's on all of Sony's systems.
Pillars of Eternity is also coming out next week.
And one of Martin's favorite games, MLB The Show 15. If you're interested in this, I believe the Borderlands The Handsome Collection's out this week.
Yep.
I don't know if I would buy the game, but I'm tempted. Forza Horizon 2 has the Fast and the Furious pack coming out this week, which I'm really kind of curious about.
Don't do this at all.
The Fast and the Furious. I mean, granted, it I don't necessarily think that it's too much of an arcade game. Arcade races, so we'll see. But yes, that's what we have to look forward to in the next 2 weeks. I don't think there's any major gaming shows, but who knows? Nintendo Directs can pop out of anywhere. Microsoft can drop the price on the Xbox One again. Oh, we didn't talk about this, but there's a new bundle. It now comes with the Halo Master Chief Collection.
Now that it works.
Now that it somewhat works.
Does it is it 100% working?
It's working now.
It works now, but it's not 100% working.
Oh, really?
Works in quotes.
It still has. It works in that I've been able to play some games, but it still has some of the headaches. Not as much.
Oh, it doesn't work.
Yeah, one of the weirdest ones, and it's not necessarily a problem. It's just very annoying. Is that if you play games with your party members, like with friends, like every time a game finishes, it tells you like so and so has joined your party. Like I don't need to be reminded of that every time we're in a party going through games together. I know they're in my party. The UI is still ugly as hell, so that hasn't been fixed. And there are still problems with certain game types not loading with multiplayer. Like I tried the players, which I very and some of them won't load for some reason. It kept on telling us like we don't have the same. Like it was we're starting new. We've never done it before, and it's like saying that you don't have the same save data or something like that. So there's still some weird hiccups in the system, but it is you can actually go on now and actually get a game going. And I guess kind of to talk about that real quick, it's a really weird experience to kind of jump between the various Halo games because you spend like the first few minutes trying to figure out which game you're playing and what this game had. Because like we played through like a stage from Halo 1, then we went to Halo 3, then it was 4, and it's like...
And they all feel really different as well.
Yeah, it's like I kept on trying to sprint, like none of those games had sprint in them. And then I got to Halo 3, and it's like that Halo 3 had all the equipment, and it's like... You used to feel like, what the hell is the purpose of this to begin with? It doesn't do anything. and Halo 1's weird because it's the only one I believe that uses health packs. So you have to find health packs on the stage, and that's something you don't think about in the other games. And the level design's much smaller because it wasn't really made for online. And it's like a bunch of different stuff that you go through just kind of jump between the games and the different weapons and different abilities and what Master Chief can and can't do and how OP the sword was in Halo 2. But yeah, I still think it's a novel idea. It's really fun. I did some of the story mission. It's really fun that you can just kind of swap between like the Halo 1 and 2 original and new versions. I didn't even realize you could do that with cousins as well, which is really funny because there's like one scene with... what is the lieutenant's name?
Johnson.
Yes. Like, this one, like, when they redid it for Halo 2, he's, like, so, like, he's this uber masculine dude, and then you go back, and it's, like, this really grainy thing with no background, and you go back, and it's, like, it's sweating, and he's perspiring, and it's, like, all these, like, yeah, you could tell the huge difference 10 years made in the cutscene quality. But, yeah, it works, so I wouldn't recommend an Xbox One for it. I mean... Technically speaking, I've said this before, I wouldn't recommend an Xbox One, and I hate saying that because Martin's just going to say he told me so, but...
apparently I don't have to.
But yeah, that is a new bundle for $350. You get the Halo Master Chief Collection, which is, I guess you wouldn't qualify for this, but there go some updates on the Halo ODST, and I think Halo, the map that they're bringing forward, they showed the first footage of that recently, so that's a thing. Anyhow, you can find us on Twitter at @dual_wielding. You can find us on Twitter as well at Nerds on the Rocks, Facebook and Google Plus with Nerds on the Rocks. You can find us on the website, nerdsontherocks.com. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Blueberry, Xbox Marketplace, I believe. I don't even check these things anymore, so take my word for it. You can find... you folks can tell them your Twitter names if you want. They're usually in the post because I don't remember any of you folks' names. Martin just changed his to what, Xantar2K?
Zeta2K.
Whatever, he got rid of his underscore because he's too good for an underscore.
Underscores kind of suck.
I have an underscore. I had an underscore.
Underscores kind of suck.
Anyhow, for Anthony, Daniel, Martin, and myself, this has been Duelosin for the week of March 23rd, 2015.
Have a good one.